First, bow our heads now for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for this assembling together again. Night after night in these revivals, we assemble, and we did this, Lord, year in and out. And sometime, we don't know when or where, but we know we'll have to assemble for the last time. And we'll be called to answer. I pray, Father, that if there be some here tonight who does not know You as their Savior, that this will be the night that they'll make preparations for when that call of summons to come on high, to stand at the judgment, may they be ready to go, all washed in Calvary. And Father, we pray for those who are sick and afflicted that's in the building tonight, and others outside. And here's some handkerchiefs laying here and cloths. That's to go to the sick and afflicted. We do this because it is written in the Scripture that they've taken from the body of St. Paul handkerchiefs and aprons and placed them on the sick. Evil spirits went out of the people and diseases left them. Now we know that we're not St. Paul, but we know that You're still Jesus Christ, the One who healed the sick. And we're told one time in the Scripture, when the children of Israel was following their commission, going straight in the line of duty, that the Red Sea got in the way of the line of duty of the children of God going to a promised land. God looked down through the pillar of fire, and the sea got scared and opened up a way, and they crossed over as on dry land. Now, Lord, when these handkerchiefs, which are going in the line of duty, going from here where the children of God are praying, when they're laid upon the sick, may God not only look through the pillar of fire, but through the blood of His own Son, who was striped and wounded for our transgression, and with His stripes we were healed. May He look through that promise and that suffering yonder at Calvary, and every sickness and disease move back, that these people might move into the promise of God. I would above all things, said the apostle, that you prosper in health. Grant it, Father. My brethren are down there standing by an organ. That's some lovely family let us have to play the music of God. They're wanting to present this to You, Lord, as a public service. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You will bless it. And everywhere it is played, may it bring conviction. May the hands that play be filled with the Spirit. And may it play the songs of Zion. May it call souls. May it never give an uncertain sound, as Paul said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound. But may it give that certain sound of the mercies and grace of God. Bless the ones who are presenting it, all who are praying, and to all may God have glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Brother David, did you get through the snow all right?
Amen. All right. Amen.
Called home a while ago and here there's 12 inches new in Indiana now.
That's correct. Last night it fell again and
let's just stay out here. That'd be a good idea.
I think the Lord was good to send us here at this time.
I think
that
so.
We'd escape all that.
He's good, isn't he?
Praise the Lord. Brother Branham, I told them tonight that Indiana has wonderful Methodist superintendents, and they're going to be a lot better after this because they are seeking now the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's very good. Well, I'll pinch it for you again sometime. I'll try it again. Well, that's mighty fine. How many ever read my little book called Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever? Some of the old timers. I wrote it myself. It's a mess, but if you just get it together, the Lord can reveal it to you. Did you notice in there that I've seen a woman coming with a real, had been a white garment, and it was all spotted all over? And across her brow was wrote, Miss Wesleyan Methodist. And I said, what's the matter with that beautiful garment all spotted up as a vision? She said, well, I said, you Methodists oughtn't to have that like that. And said, well, I've been so busy. I said, yes, with so many societies, you've left off all the old prayer meetings and divine healing, the power of God that belong to the Methodist Church. She said, you talk like that, I'll go wake my husband. And she went and got a spade and began to dig up by a grave called John Wesley. And the vision left me. someday the Methodist Church is going to have a revival. I mean that. So, Brother David, that might be right in line. One of the great men come just recently, was in a motel there at my place for several days, is writing a thesis on divine healing for the Methodist Church. That's to go in the whole, and all the organization of the Methodist Church. Now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, Saturday morning is the businessman's breakfast. I guess they've already announced it, and it will be, if the Lord willing. They'll tell you Friday night in full details, I guess, if it's all set up. As far as you know, Brother Williams, where was it, right? That's right, for Saturday morning breakfast. Brother David Duplessis, not just because he's sitting here, but I've never heard him teaching only on tape, because when we're close to one another, we're together, and we're in a meeting. And so, Brother David, I've heard him on the tapes in ancient Anthus Temple and places where we've been. I think one of the greatest teachers that I know of on the message today. And he's having services out at the 11th and Garfield each morning at 10 o'clock, I think. And if you've never heard him teach, I sure would advise you to go out and hear him. The boys tell me on the records now, I'll tell you how much it is. I think he sold, I may be wrong on this, I would say 10 of my tapes and 90 of his, so you know where it's going to. He's got a great ministry in teaching. So we'd appreciate you going out and hearing Brother David. Now, tonight, I wish you to turn in the scriptures for just a short time. In the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, and let's read the 20th, 21st, and 22nd verses of the 8th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I like to take a subject and call it why. You know, when God is so good to us to make a way for escape of danger, and we do not accept that way, then God asks why. I think He has the right to ask why. For He's went to all His trouble to make this way for our good and place it before us, and then we turn right around and refuse it. He's got a right to ask us why. Why did we do it? Instead, we'll try to make some way of our own. But man are prone to make his own way. He proved that in the Garden of Eden. He made himself a fig leaf apron. And man has always tried to project his own ideas with God's and make God's idea come to his idea. But we're not to do that. We're to take God's provided way and ask no questions about it. Just go on and do it and live it the way God made it. For after all, He knows what's best. One time, Brother Duplessis and I was talking some time ago about the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And he gave me a word that stuck with me like something growed around me. He said, Brother Branham, I've always found it this way, that if I will just let the Holy Spirit lead me, don't take any thought if He leads me contrary to what I'm thinking, just let Him lead you and be simple in it. Just follow the Holy Spirit and it always comes out right. Then I thought, Brother Duplessis, we are full-fledged brothers, for that's just the way I like it. Let the Holy Spirit lead, because it's God's provided agent to lead us. Now, God makes a way to for the escape, makes a way of salvation, makes a way for healing, all these things, and then we continue on. He asks why. One time in the Bible, there in the book of the Kings, there was a man who was king over Israel, and he was an evil man, son of Ahab, and his backgrounds had been evil to begin with. And your life today will reflect in your children. You must remember that. A few days ago, Demas Shakarian called me and he said, Brother Branham is talking about little Joseph sitting in here somewhere tonight, my little son. And 6 years before he was born, I saw him in a vision. We had a little girl, and the baby had to be born cesarean on the cause of the health of the wife. And so the doctor said that she could have no more children, said it was finished. And then I said, there'll be another one. He said, it just can't be, Mr. Branham. Said, you're going to kill your wife. And I said, but doctor, the Lord promised me a son, and his name's going to be called Joseph. A couple years after that, we knew we was going to have a baby in our house, and some of them asked me, is that Joseph? I said, I don't know. And when it was born, it was a little girl. And now, they didn't razz me. They said, you meant Josephine. And I said, no, I meant Joseph. The doctor says, now it's impossible for her to have another one. I said, oh no, she'll have another one. She's going to have another baby, and it's going to be Joseph. And then when 4 years later, she's to be mother again. And they said, is this Joseph? I said, I don't know, but Joseph is coming. And so that morning, the nurse came down and brought me, said, who is Reverend Branham? I said, I'm he. She said, Reverend Branham, you have a fine 7-pound, 3-ounce boy. I said, Joseph, you've been a long time getting here, honey. Daddy's kind of glad to see you. She said, you called him Joseph. I said, the Lord told me to call him that 6 years ago. Demas asked me, he said, Brother Branham, does your children see visions? I said, Joseph has already seen visions. He's seen about 6 weeks before it happened, a neighbor boy fall on a motorcycle and told us just how far he would skin himself, what limb it would be. We thought the little fellow dreamed a dream, but he had not. And the boy fell at the spot, he said, skinned his leg just the same way, just as perfect as it could be, and a child 3 years old. See, it reflects. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that was within him. It come from his grandmother, Lois. We find out that in the 7th chapter of Hebrews that Paul is speaking on tithe paying. That he said, Levi, who had an order from God to receive tithing of his brother, paid tithe, for he yet in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek, which was his great-great-grandfather. And it was accounted to him for paying tithing. Your life will impress your children and have influence your children by the example you set before them. And I think it's a good thing that we put every effort we can before our children as godly parents. Make an example, be an example. And this man had a lukewarm father in the gospel and an infidel or heathen mother. And he couldn't be very much to begin with. And he became king by rights. And one day he was walking around and fell through the lattice in his house, off the porch down, and taken sick and was going to die, he thought. So being an Israelite and king over Israel, he sent two of his trusted servants up to Ekron to find out and consult Beelzebub, the god up there, whether he was going to get well or not. You see, even a man, when he's in a condition like that, there's something in the human being that lets him know that there's something supernatural somewhere. There's somewhere he can touch. Now, he ought not have done that, but he thought no one would know about it but these two men, but somewhere out
in a little adobe hut out there in the woods, God spoke to the prophet Elijah. He said, go up and stand in the road. And when these soldiers come by, ask them the question, is there no God in Israel? Is there no prophet in Israel that you could consult, that you'd have to stand up to Beelzebub? What a reproach upon the nation. What a reproach it is upon the nation today to find out that people, sometimes who call themselves Christians, go to Ouija boards and spiritless meetings and all kinds of tommy rot like that, and fortunes and telling fortunes and things like that, which is of the devil. Is it because there's no God in heaven? Is it because that he doesn't have prophets in his church? Is it because we don't have gifts and revelations and interpretations in the church to consult God? Why would we have to go to such a low, degraded thing as that? God is going to ask us, why? Why? Now, it wasn't because there wasn't a God in Israel. It wasn't because he didn't have a prophet. But it was the king's own evil, stubborn ways is what did it. And it isn't today because the American people flock to seance meetings and devil-possessed things like that to consult for the future. It isn't because that we haven't got a church that's got God in it. It's their own stubborn ways. They don't want to associate with them kind of a people. That's the same thing that this king did not want to associate with Elijah, because Elijah always called out his sins. Sometimes it's rough to serve God. The only one thing to do, that's come to the hewing line. Toe the line with God. Leave your own thoughts go. Because God's going to ask for a reason for these things someday. And when we ask to give a reason, then what we're going to answer. Now, and then it was his own stubborn way that he didn't want to have any fellowship with this godly prophet. Yet he was an Israelite. He was in line to have a blessing of God upon him, and was under the blessing by his birthright as being an Israelite, but yet refused to accept God's way and went some other way. God's going to ask us at the day of judgment, why didn't you receive the Holy Ghost? Why wasn't you born to the Spirit? Why wasn't you this way and that way? Was it because we didn't have any church to teach it? Was it because there wasn't a preacher in the land that preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why did you do these things? When God's made a provision and that people refuse to walk in it, then he's going to ask, why? It's like a man dying on the doctor's doorsteps because he won't take his medicine. The doctor has the prescription. He has the remedy for the disease the man's got. But he sits on the doctor's doorstep and refuses to take his medicine. Then he dies on his doorstep. It isn't because the doctor didn't have the prescription. It isn't because there was no medicine for his sickness. But it's because the man's own stubbornness to refuse to take the doctor's medicine. And he died. So you cannot blame the medicine or the doctor, because both was there ready for service, but it was the man who refused. And God's got the Holy Ghost tonight for every believer that wants to receive it. We got anointed preachers in the land that preaches it daily and nightly. But it's the people's own stubborn way that they love darkness better than light. That they'd rather live in the world than to walk in the gospel light. Oh, people, you don't know what a pleasure it is to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus, have fellowship with him. It's glory divine. Amen. To have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, you cannot have fellowship with the world and with the Holy Spirit at the same time. You've got to abstain from the things of the world. Live clean, honorable, upright, and holy. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit will dwell with you and will work with you and will perform miracles through you and will heal you, give you joy, peace, and love, and long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience, and faith. if you will walk in God's way. There's plenty of Holy Spirit. I've often wondered why the people want to take a substitute for salvation when the skies are full of the real. Why would you eat out of a garbage can when a nice clean table is set and ready for you? It shows there's mentally something wrong. I think that's what's the matter with the nation today. I think when a person will refuse to receive Christ, the Holy Spirit, in their hearts to walk, let Him lead them like He did in the book of Acts, there's something wrong with that person mentally. I believe it. Now, they say too much religion will make you go crazy. Too much of the wrong thing will make you go crazy. But the religion of Jesus Christ, if you are crazy, it puts you in your right mind. You are not right until you are born again. You're not mentally right until you have been born again. A man is not in his right condition until he's born again. He's a beast at heart until he has been born of the Spirit of God, and the spirit of nature is taken out of him, and the Spirit of God takes its place to rule. That leads him and guides him into all truth and life. That's right. And if a man does not do that, knowing without that he's hell-bound, there's something wrong with his mind. Why doesn't the people receive it? Why? We have put a rodeo in town. There'd be in this city here of Phoenix, I suppose, 500,000 people, maybe more. I don't know the population. But a 1/3 or more of the crowd would come. I'd pay $5 a ticket to get in, which is all right if you want to go. Then we could put some television star here with a rock and roll party, and I'd say nearly 50% of Phoenix would go. And then we put a gospel meeting here where Jesus Christ comes in presence with us all to bless us and to show and prove to us by His Word that He's the resurrected Son of God, and we'll just get a handful out of the city. But what is it? No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. I feel it's the cream of the crop, the elected. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they don't follow. Depends on what's on the inside of you, drawing you, moving you. It's the elect, always, that God speaks to and sends His message to. Now, they're going to be asked someday, why? Why didn't you? Was it because there was no meeting in Phoenix? Was it because the Holy Spirit wasn't preached in Phoenix? In this generation, when it comes up to the judgment, well, we're going to have to stand there. Every one of us will stand there and give an account. And Phoenix is going to be left there because there's many, many churches in here preaching the gospel, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying for the sick. Well, you say we've had a lot of, I don't care what you've had, surely you've got enough discernment to know what's right and wrong by the Word. Yeah. What's the Word? Now, if the man laid on the doctor's doorstep and died there because he refused to take the doctor's medicine. Now, if there's no medicine in there, that's different. But if there's medicine there and a doctor who knows how to give it, then if the man dies with his disease, it's not the doctor's fault, neither the medicine's fault. It's the man's own fault because he died. You don't have to. Now, in medicine, sometimes there was a time when there was no toxin for typhoid fever. There was no, just recently they got the salt vaccine for the children, for the polio. There was a time they didn't have it. They got it now. There was a time there was no inoculation for typhoid fever and tetanus and typhus shots. They didn't have it. But we got it now. And now, there was a time when the toxin of God wasn't too good. It was all right, but it wasn't perfect. But it's changed now. It's perfect now. Now, how do they find medicine? How do they find about a remedy? How to give medicine? The first thing, they take it into the laboratories, begin to mix different chemicals together, and they come to an idea that this thing tested against a certain germ, that it kills the germ and leaves the good germ of life live. Sometimes it kills off the antibiotic and so forth to take off some of the good germs, the good and bad. But usually it's tested to kill the bad germ for your body. And then their next thing they do, they get a guinea pig, and they inject this serum into the guinea pig. They give him the disease and see how it acts in the body of a guinea pig. If the guinea pig survives it, then they give it to you. Not all people, it won't work on all people. Because sometimes they can give you a dose of penicillin, it'll help one and kill the next one it gives it to. You have to take a chance on it when you're taking medicine, because it's not perfect. But I want to say tonight that the bomb of God, the Holy Spirit, it isn't a hit and guess or a hit and miss. It is perfect. It's good for all. It is a bomb of God, bomb of Gilead. It's there for every sick sin, sick soul. Now, they say today that number one killer in America is heart trouble. I'm different with them. Number one killer in America today is sin. Not heart trouble, but soul trouble. Inside of the heart, the soul, it's in the heart. That's the number one enemy. We have so many people, I hear them say, Brother Branham, I want to live right. I had young girls and young boys to tell me, old people, I want to live right, but I just can't keep from drinking. I just can't keep from lusting. I just can't keep away from these places. There's just one thing. You haven't tried the bomb. When you take this bomb of Gilead, God's bomb, it inoculates you from all sin and things of the world. It puts such a love of God in your heart until the things of the world become dead to you. Certainly, it's the great bomb of Gilead. It's the bomb of God's healing bomb. You say, I wish I could. Well, you can. There's plenty of it. We got the heavens is full of it. We got preachers across the land preaching it. We got people across the land being inoculated by it. And sin problem leaves them because they receive God's inoculation. The sinners, drunkards, jammers, gangsters, bootleggers, prostitutes, all of them come to Calvary and are inoculated with the bomb of God's glory and His power, and sin question is settled forever. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall never come to the judgment, but pass from death unto life, because he's been inoculated with the Spirit of God that killed the things of the world and made him a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. He's inoculated. All the old things pass away, new life comes in, new desire comes in. And if you haven't got that, except the man be born again, he will in no wise see the kingdom of God. And then at the day of the judgment, the world's going to be asked for a reason. Why didn't you receive it? Just as the people are dying on the doctor's doorstep, men and women today are dying in the church pews. Sinners come to the place like borderline believers. Men and women dying in the church pew and going out in eternity to meet God without hope. It isn't because the gospel isn't preached. It isn't because that there isn't enough balm for them. It's because they refuse to take the balm. They refuse to take the doctor's medicine. The new birth. As I said the other night, the new birth is a mess. I don't care where you go at it, it's a mess. Any birth is. It's a mess. And the new birth is the man. It makes you do things that you didn't think you would do. I remember one time I was preaching at my tabernacle years ago. And there was, I was a missionary Baptist, and the First Baptist Church down the Sunday school teacher was up there and standing on the outside. And I always did believe in holiness. I believe that a man, if he's born in the Spirit of God and led by the Holy Spirit, he'll live right. He has to, because the life of God's in him. And then this little fella was their Sunday school teacher, and we didn't believe our church didn't have any baseball team. They did down there, because they'd bring him in playing Sunday baseball, and we didn't believe in him. So this fellow said, "Billy, I was up to hear you the other night." I said, "Yes." "I didn't see you." He said, "Oh, I come up, I stood outside." Says a big crowd inside, and I didn't want to stand in. Said, "I stood outside, but said, I appreciated your message, but I just simply couldn't understand what you were saying, because some woman raised up back there and started crying. Run up there to the altar with her hands up crying. Said, I didn't get the last part of your message." Said, "And that woman started crying." She said, I just felt," he said, "I felt like I almost froze to death." I said, "Brother, you better change a whole lot. If you ever get to heaven, you will freeze to death up there, because there's going to be plenty of screaming and shouting up there." And he said, "Don't you think that's emotion?" I said, "Sir, anything without emotion scientifically is dead. And any church or any person that's born of the Holy Spirit says God has got a little emotion about him, is dead. But when a baby's born, it doesn't cry, it doesn't whimper, it doesn't make a whine. What's the matter with that baby? It's born dead. That's what's in our church members tonight. A lot of church members, they're born dead. What does the doctor do to bring life to a little baby? Jerks him up in the heels and gives him a little protoplasma stimulation. Right as hard as he can spank him until he squalls out. What the church needs tonight is a good old-fashioned, God-sent spanking to it that will call it back out again. Shake life into it. That's what the church needs. When the birth comes, this crying comes, this slobbers comes. It just a lot of things happen when the birth comes. But people don't want that. They think they're too classy, too stiff to receive it. And God's going to ask you why. Person who will get a grammar school education, stick the hat on the side of their head and put a $50 cone around it and walk out here thinking you're something. Remember, you was born just like anybody else was born. You had the same messy birth that anybody else had. Let me tell you, you're nothing anyhow to begin with. And then the only way you'll ever get out of that condition is to be reborn by the Spirit of God. And it does something to you that makes your head in above the eagles. Because you're reborn, and God's going to ask you, why didn't you receive it? What's the matter? What was the cause? Well, it's not going to be because you say, I never heard it preached, because you have. If you didn't go to the church, you heard it on the radio, or sometimes you see it in the papers, on tracks on the street, you've heard it. God's going to say, why didn't you? Why? I made the way. I sent my man. I sent my apostles. I sent my prophets. I sent my Holy Spirit. I showed signs and wonders. I proved by these operations of these gifts and by the preaching of the gospel through the Bible that it was me. Now, why didn't you receive it? There you are. Reminds me like in someone asked me the question the other night about Hebrews 10. For they who willfully have sinned, willfully, and have to renew themselves into repentance. Wow, there's nothing left for them but the fearful looking for the judgment. He that despised Moses' law died under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment? Suppose, O worthy, who has trod the blood of Jesus Christ under their feet and counted an unholy thing, done despite to the works of grace. I said, you read over in Deuteronomy 14. Were that those spies, Israelites, went with Caleb and Joshua right up to the borderland. And they tasted the grapes that come from the land. But when they went back, they were unbelieving and cowards. Said, oh, we can't take it. It's too much for us. Oh, they look like grasshoppers. We do up the side of them. The cities are all walled in. We cannot take it. But Caleb stilled them, and Joshua said, we can take it. We're more than able. yet we'd be in the minority. But we can take it. What? Those spies was looking at conditions. What the price they'd have to pay. But Caleb and Joshua was looking at a promise of God. God said, I have given you that land. Go possess it. Glory. The Holy Ghost is for whosoever's called to this wedding supper. I don't care what price you have to pay. Go get it. God said it's yours. If you don't get it, then he's going to ask you, why didn't you get it? Why it was there for you? If they didn't possess the land, why? There was too many against us. He said, well, God said, if I'm for you, who could be against you? It's there. What's the matter? There's something wrong with the individual. Now watch. He said, many, you take a young minister, feels the call of God in his heart. He'll repent of his sins, go off to school, and get his education, which is fine. He'll come back and he still smokes cigarettes, maybe. Maybe he's still got a lustful spirit. And he'll say, oh, I don't want that. Lord, take it away from him. The Spirit of God will come in and sanctify his soul and take that desire away from him. Then he'll be brought right up to the borderline. Sit right in the meetings and watch the working of the Holy Spirit. See others get healed. Hear them speak with tongues and see signs and wonders done. They'll sit around and watch it, but afraid to put their hand on it. That's that borderline believer. That's the fellow that ever turns away. There's no more remission for him. Stand right up here and even look over into the land who has received a knowledge of the truth. Had a knowledge of the truth, told that was right. But because of prestige, oh, if I do this, it'll do this, and if I accept that, it'll do this. See? They refuse it. Walk away from it. And he said, and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified that far to bring him up on a step to look over into it and have a knowledge of it. He was saved and sanctified, but comes up here to look over to receive the Holy Ghost, that new birth. He wants nothing to do with it. He'll say, oh, I guess that's all right for them kind of people, but me, oh, it's all right, but I will someday. Now there's the trouble. That man is sick and don't want to take the doctor's medicine. Oh, my. Reminds me, Mama used to give us castor oil. We was raised out in the country and had to take meat skins and boil them out in an old, or render them out in an old dishpan and make the bread with it. It's like cornbread and black-eyed peas. I don't know where y'all know what that is or not. How many Southerners in here eat that? Turnip greens? Oh, my goodness. If I had a straw tick tonight sleep on, I'd feel at home, man. Notice. And they take and make that, and every Saturday night, us little kids all had to take a bath. About 8 or 9 of them, little Branham standing up. And I was the oldest one, so I got the last bath, the same water the first one had it. Just pour a little more in out of the old tea kettle, an old wooden tub. And then everyone else going to school had to take a dose of castor oil, so we'd feel all right for school Monday morning. Our system's all with that food we had to eat. And I can't stand the smell of the stuff yet. And I every time I'd come out home and over, I'd say, Mama, I was the oldest, I had to take it first. I'd say, oh, Mama, it just takes me. I just can't do it. And she'd say, if it doesn't make you sick, it doesn't do you any good. That's the same way as preaching the gospel. If it doesn't stir you up and make you sick enough, it'll do you good. It's a doctor's prescription. It's what the doctor ordered. Hold your nose and take it. That's the best thing. It'll take starch out of you. It'll do that. It'll wilt you down. It'll make you do things that you didn't think you would do. It might make you a little messy, but it'll certainly straighten you out. That's right. Oh, if a person, how will you give an answer to God when he asks, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you receive it? I imagine to see the Virgin Mary to some of you Catholic people. It's kind of a bitter dose for her after giving birth to the Son of God. But yet, before she could ever go into heaven, she had to climb that little old outside ladder that led up into the upper room and stay there until she was so full of the Holy Ghost so she staggered like she was drunk. And if God made Mary do that before she went in, how are you going in anything less than that? God's going to say, why didn't you? Going to be asked to give a reason. Why didn't you? Think of that. But God's going to ask why, and you've got to give a reason why. What you going to say about it? Why? Why didn't you do it? The doctor leave you medicine and say, why didn't you take it? The next day your fever's high. Why didn't you take it? Why didn't you? How can I doctor you unless you take my medicine? How can God save you unless you take his medicine? How can he heal you unless you take the medicine? I said heart trouble is not number one. Sin trouble. And what is sin? Sin is not smoking cigarettes. Sin is not committing adultery. Sin is not drinking, swearing. That's the attributes of sin. There's only one sin, that's unbelief. Any man, if he lives as holy and pious and as good as he can be, and yet say that the days of miracles is past, and deny the Scripture saying Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever, that man is a sinner because he's an unbeliever. Them Pharisees are just as holy as they could be. Traditions of the elders they kept. Clean, right, swell, fine, educated. And Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. He was the Messiah. He was the one that showed forth the power of the living God and fulfilled the Scriptures that was spoken of him. And then they were asked, why? Because their elders said. Their elders said, but Jesus had fulfilled the Scriptures. So will it be someday when they're asked, why did they receive the Holy Ghost? The church is here. The churches are here. The power of God's here. Christ is here. The signs and wonders that he promised of the last day is here. And we're going to be asked, why didn't you receive the Holy Ghost? Why? God made a way. Then why don't you receive it? Now, you could kind of straighten this medicine proposition out. You can kind of wonder about that. Because it helps some and kills some. It's not too acrid. Because every person's body is not like a guinea pig. And we all are different one from another. I want to get on that this week if I could. How that one tries to impersonate another. You can never do that. God never made two people alike. You just go the way the Holy Spirit leads you. We might take the millions that's in the world and no two of them have got the same thumbprint. Right. God made them different. He's a God of variety. He made them different. Don't try to impersonate the next fella. You do what God tells you to do and stay with it. Because there's no one in heaven or in earth can take your place. God made you for a purpose. Amen. Stay with that. Now, we find out that this medicine, when they inoculate this guinea pig, that was an animal. They inoculate and they give the serum to a human being. It's not too sure. That inoculation might not work on you. But I'll say one thing. God's inoculation will work on you. It's perfect. Why? There was a sample of it given forth until the real serum come by the blood of bulls and of goats and sheep and so forth. It wasn't too much because it was animals. But one day the holiest thing of heaven come, the Son of God. He wasn't Jew nor he wasn't Gentile. He was God. Neither Jew nor Gentile. So your race lines can't mean nothing. We all know that the bloodstream comes from the male sex. The germ of life comes through the male. And in this case, Mary had the egg, but the germ, the blood cell, came from God the Creator who made it. So you can't say Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't. He was God. So then God, the great Holy Spirit, overshadowed the Virgin and created a blood cell, not with any sex desire to it at all, but holy. And that cell formed in there and brought forth the Son of God, and through that virgin birth and that vicarious suffering and death at Calvary through the shed blood brings forth a sanctified church to fill it with the Spirit that created it. Amen. That's the gospel. You go call me a holy roller anyhow, so you might as well get started now. Right. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious through that bowl. That makes me white as snow. No other count I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. What healed me? The blood of Jesus. What saved me? The blood of Jesus. That's all my hope and theme. That's all my cry. That's all my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, that's God's application. It makes you a different person. You're born anew. Now, when God got ready to try his toxin, his bomb. Bomb is the... He said, is there no bomb in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why? Why is the daughter of my people not recovered from her sickness? Why is she still in this condition? Is there no bomb? Is there no physician? No one to help her, no one to tell her the truth, no one to give her the right medicine. Why is she sick like this? I wonder what God's going to say at the day of the judgment if we keep separating ourselves from one another. What's the matter with the bomb? What's the matter with the power of God? With Jesus Christ, He said, this will all men know you're my disciples when you have love one for the other. What are we going to do with that? Is there no bomb here? What's the matter with us? Why is the church still sick? Not because there's not enough bomb to draw us together. It's not because there isn't a physician, the Holy Spirit. But what it is because that we willfully reject it. That's the reason. Now, notice again, when that bomb, I'll call it toxin, when that toxin was tested, God never gave it to a guinea pig. He gave it to His Son, to Jesus Christ, at the bank of the Jordan, down to life, it held. And a few days after God gave the toxin in His own Son, in His own flesh, God made flesh and dwelt among us. Some people calling Jesus just a philosopher, just an ordinary man, just a prophet. He was more than a philosopher. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a man. He was God manifested in flesh. Virgin born, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit overshadowed Mary, brought forth a tabernacle, a man's body, which was the Son of God that God dwelt in, reconciling the world to Himself. He looked like God. He acted like God. He spoke like God. He healed like God. He was God, made manifest in the flesh. He was more than a man. God manifested in the flesh. That death tried to anchor little old that old flesh there. He found out then that there was something different from anyone else he'd ever stung. He could sting a prophet and he'd die. He stung a prophet and then he'd sting another. But when he stung that Son of God there, it anchored that stinger and pulled it out of him. Today death doesn't have any sting because the flesh of God caught the stinger and pulled it out of him. The devil didn't know that was him. He said, if you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, do this. Put a rag around his face. He's seen them visions and so forth. The devil had his agent put a rag around his face like that and hit him on the head. Said, now, if you are the Son of God, tell us who hit you. See, Jesus kept that to himself. But he wanted that devil to anchor that stinger and then he'd take the stinger out of him. Oh, but when he stung him there at Calvary, he hadn't got any stinger no more. He can buzz and hum and make a lot of noise, but his stinger's yonder. Hallelujah! Anchored at Calvary! No wonder Paul could say, oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my. When God got ready to try toxin, He inoculated His own Son. When they jerked a handful of beard out of His face and right in His face, He turned the other cheek to them. I wonder if we've been inoculated like that. When the devil tested Him, said, say you're a miracle performer. Let me see you heal this one here. Let me see you do this. What would we do if we had the power? We'd turn around and probably do it and say, see, I told you I could do it. But He was inoculated. It helped. He done only what the Father told Him to do. If we had that much power given to us, I wonder if we would put our thumbs in our vest and say, now you understand here, you see, all you people. You have to come over to my denomination because I'm the one that's got it. See, what about him? He was inoculated. What did he say? I can do nothing until the Father shows me. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That doeth the Son. The inoculation helped. When he went to Calvary, it helped. When he went to death, it helped. God proved that inoculation would keep you from sin. Not only that, but on Easter morning, blessed be the name of the Lord. The inoculation helped. As he was dead 3 days in his body in the grave, the inoculation helped. He rose from the grave on Easter morning by that inoculation. All the people getting to look around and say, that inoculation looks good to me, the real believer. So he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We find out. There was one coming from Emmaus. Two of them on the road. A man walked out, walked along, talked with them all day, sat down, act like he's going on by. And he'd done something just like he did before his crucifixion. Before his death, they knew that was the Lord had raised. Oh, said, did not our hearts burn within us as we talked to him along the road? We find him doing things just like he did before his resurrection, before he had died, rather. We found after his resurrection that he performed and did just like he did afterwards. They knew that was the resurrection and life. He is the only one. The only one. There's no church. There's no minister. There's no prophet. There's no nothing that's got eternal life but Jesus Christ, and he's the sole giver of eternal life. No man can come to the Father except by me, said Jesus. Amen. How are you going to meet him on church creeds? How are you going to meet him on denominations? How are you going to meet him on handshakes and sprinkles? You know better than that. You've got to be born again. Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. No other one. Then we're going to ask why. Then 120 of them become candidates for this. He took 120 little cowardly Jews. After they'd seen all this go by, they'd seen his miracles, they'd see the inoculation holding on him. They'd seen that when he was riled upon, he riled not again. They'd seen his sweetness and meekness. They'd seen his power to heal. They'd seen his power to raise up from the grave. And in all that, they were still cowards. The serum was there, but they had not received it as yet. They went upstairs and shut themselves in the room by a candle burning up there. There for 10 days and nights, waiting for the doctor to come. Oh! All of a sudden, they heard the sound as a rushing mighty wind. Here comes the inoculation, and he inoculated 120! Brother, they went into a fit nearly when they inoculated them. Or out in all kinds of shines, they jumped and danced and spoke in tongues and run through the streets, but they was inoculated. That's what they're afraid of. You're afraid of the serum. It'll make you act funny, but oh my, what a feeling, what a safety it gives you when you're inoculated. Except the man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Means you don't understand it. You think the people are crazy until you get into it one time. Did you ever see a fellow drunk on opium? Why, he can get on opium, smoke an opium pipe. I don't care how sick he is or what about all the whole world. Just his, that's all. Now, that's of the world, the doctor's opium. But God has an opium. Where do you get opium? From the lily. He was the lily of the valley. In the Calvary, they crushed the opium out of him. Now you can get inoculation to every day Sunday. Oh, these are not drunk on new wine. They're not drunk on strong drinks, but they're drunk upon this new wine. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, pour out upon them from on high. There's a way. You say, but Brother Branham, that was for them people back there. Oh, no, 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 no. The people asked, said, Manny Burton, how do we get inoculated? Now, they had a doctor in the bunch. Did you know that? Dr. Simon Peter. Yes, sir. Oh, he said, there's plenty of bomb here. I'm the physician right now. Give me your prescription. What must we do to be saved? He said, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promise. The prescription is good for you and for your children and for them to call. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call to be inoculated. I tried his prescription. You can try his prescription. Repent and be baptized. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And see if the Holy Ghost don't come into you. How long will this prescription? Don't you never go to writing out any man's theory. If you do, you're going to get in trouble. You'll still be in sin. But you take his theory, his prescription, the promise. Now they say, oh, that old prescription was for a long time ago. Oh, no. Dr. Simon Peter, Jesus' physician that he sent, he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. I'll give you the bowl to stir it up in. And you just mix a little repentance and water baptism and all these things together and mix it all together. Find out, take a big dose of it and find out what comes out. Oh my, the first thing you know, you talk about new wine. When you drink that, something will happen to you. Oh, they went forth everywhere preaching the Lord, working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Oh, how glorious it is to know God's going to ask on the day of the judgment, why didn't you take the prescription? It's wrote here in the Bible. Here is the reason. Here's the Holy Ghost. You say, look, Lord, I thought it was my physician told you that it was for you and for your children. And for them that was far off, even as many as got sick. Even as many as got sick. The healing balm is for them. There is a balm in Gilead.
for the sin sick soul. Listen, friends, we're scattered about. You'll join the assemblies, then you'll join the oneness, and then you'll join the Church of God, then you go to Independence, then to the Methodist, back to the Baptist, back again around and around and around, packing your letter. Forget it. The thing you need is inoculation. Then don't make any difference what church you're in, you're inoculated. You're born into the Church of the Living God. The Pentecostal has a lot of scavengers. That's exactly right, they all do. Jesus had 1 out of 12. So we won't do as good as he did, I'm sure. We got them. Impersonators, actors trying to act like something they haven't got, but just the same as some has got them. Right. If you see a counterfeit dollar, it shows it was made off of a real one. Search the scriptures, friend. Join the church ain't enough. Now, joining the church is fine. I believe that every person should join the church. I absolutely believe that every person should stand at their post of duty. And when their pastor is there preaching or evangelist or something, I think they ought to stand at their post of duty. They ought to support that church with everything they got in them, with their tithes, with their offerings, with anything that they're called on to do. Be willing and happy if your pastor asks you to do something in your church. You should do it. That's good. But don't let that just be the only thing. Get inoculated first. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Get the Holy Spirit first. Then the rest of it comes on all right. Then you go get into whatever you wish to, whatever church is of your choice. Now, this Bible has the treasures. This Bible said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Peter said the promises to you and to your children and them as far off even as men as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, a ministry, working through human flesh, like you. You and I, together, will do the same thing. Just before the coming of Christ, this would be taking place. All the prophets spoke of it. The scriptures lay to it and everything. Don't stand off from it and say, well, I wonder. Take the Bible. Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. That's how you're going to know. Search the scriptures. Is the Holy Ghost for you? Is the Holy Ghost for these people? Is the Holy Ghost for this generation? The Bible said it was. Is this the generation that the signs of the believers was to follow? Search the scripture, it said it would be so. Both former and latter rain would be poured out in this generation. Here, well, what generation? One sees a fig tree putting forth its bud gunner. Israel returning to be a nation. When all these things have taken place, then these things will be taking place in the church. Here they are. Oh, you've got it, friends, and don't know it. You've got the opportunity. You've heard it preached. How many of you be honest when you say, Brother Bam, I never did receive the Holy Ghost yet? Raise up your hands. Be honest. Just raise up your hands. Say, I haven't received the Holy Ghost. God bless you, lady. That's good. God bless you. That's good. God bless you. God bless you. That's sincere. You know, haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. Well, you can. For the promise isn't to you. You say, but Brother Bam, I'm a Presbyterian. I don't care what you are. Like that, you're a preacher that Christ died for. And the promise is to every generation and to every person, whosoever will come. Let him say nothing. She had sold her house, and she had sold all she had, and all of her goods, and she was on starvation. And so the county come up to investigate the case. She wasn't old enough yet to draw the old age pension, so they just come up to investigate the case. And they said, well, lady, don't you have any relatives? She said, yes, I have one of the most precious boys. Well, I said, where is he at? Said, he's in India. Oh, over in India. What does he do over there? Said, he's a businessman. A businessman in India? Said, yes. Said, he's a darling boy. Said, he's a businessman. And said, doesn't he ever send you any help? Said, no, he doesn't. Said, don't you ever hear from him? Said, I hear from him all the time. And said, he sends me prettiest pictures I ever seen. But said, he never sends me any money. And said, that poor darling boy must be just so much burden that he just... Don't know how, he can't send me nothing because he's so burdened with his business, and yet he's such a sweet boy. He tells me that he's just prospering and how good everything is going on, and said, but I know because he don't send me any money, he can't afford to do it. But he sends me some of the prettiest pictures. And the man said to her, said, well, lady, what kind of pictures are these? She said, oh, I haven't lost a one of them. I got every one of them. Said, I keep them in my Bible. And she went over and pulled out of the Bible about $100,000 worth of Indian drafts from the bank. She didn't know what they were. They had pretty pictures on them, but she didn't know what they were. She was a rich woman and didn't know it. She found her treasures in the Bible. And brother, let me tell you something tonight. That woman had stuff to eat. clothes to wear. She was rich and didn't know it. And tonight, you are rich and don't know it. In the Bible here, maybe hid from your eyes, that God has no promises here that will make you rich in spirit, rich in life. Oh, it'll do things for you that you didn't think would ever be done. Now, they're in here. Why not look them up and claim them? They're yours. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in His love divine, for every promise in the book is mine. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountains of the waters of life freely. Then we're going to be asked for a reason. What then? You've heard the old song. What then? What then? When the latch is open, what then? When the ones that reject the message will be asked to give a reason, what then? Someday the trumpet will sound for its last time. The Bible will lay closed on the pulpit. The mimic will make his last act. The sun will be setting in the west, and the arms will be stacked for the last time. And then we'll be asked to give a reason for what we have done with these treasures that's been sent to us. It's a book of treasures. Let us bow our heads while we think of it. Our Heavenly Father, the riches of God is sent to us by a letter, a message of the Bible, that the Holy Spirit was ordained of God our Father through the blood of His Son Jesus to bring us this message. He is a true witness of Christ. For it is written, when He, the Holy Ghost, is come, He will bring these things to your remembrance, that in here it reminds you that you've got treasures and riches untold in the pages of this book. Not only that, but He'll show you things to come. And the works that Christ did, He said the Holy Spirit would do it in us. We're so happy to know these things are true. Now you said, and it's been written in the Bible, as many as believed on Him, to them gave He the power to become sons and daughters of God. Now I pray tonight, Father, that You'll give power to these people who have not received the Holy Spirit, or those here that might not even be saved, to this night accept the message that's in the Bible. As Peter said at the day of Pentecost, the promise is to you and to your children. The prescription, I made it that way, Father. The prescription would be good for each generation, and everyone would have a right to receive it. Now, Father God, I pray that Your grace and Your mercy will bring to pass and manifest this word. May each of these people receive what they have come for tonight. May there not be one person go out of here, but what will be made whole of their sickness, their disease, of the sin of their soul, of their unbelief, of their superstition, return to their church to be a better member of that church than they ever were. That they too might scatter light, that there is eternal life through the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Father. Amen. The just then going was for a certain person. It wasn't speaking to the church, behold. It went to a person. To somebody. You'll feel it. You'll know what I mean. The Holy Spirit is present.
Now, I appreciate you people and how that some of you come up under good training. I have noticed many times when the Holy Spirit would give a message, sometimes people know, you feel so good in a message on your heart, but see how orderly that's been each night? See, they never interrupt the message, because if the message on the platform is anointing, let them hold their peace now. This prayer to the prophets is subject to the prophecy. And then after the message is over, did you see the Spirit speak and give the interpretation? See, it's just exactly scriptural in an order. That's the way the Holy Spirit granted it to be. Now, somebody in here feels the effect of that message. Now, just while you're waiting just a moment, I know it's right, and I do believe in altar calls, people come up and confessing and so forth like that. But in the Scripture, it was as many as believed on Him. See? As many as believed. It might be somebody in here that's been halfway seeking the Holy Spirit, run around or some sinner that doesn't know God and just maybe went and made 3 or 4 trials and didn't, just kind of unconcerned. That message is sinking right down their heart right now, everybody. This would be the hour for you. Now the Holy Spirit giving His messages, doing the work, doing the things that God ordained to be done. Now, how many in here is sick and needy? Raise your hand. Say, I'm needy. Raise up my hands to God. I want to be healed physically of my sickness. All right. The Lord bless. Now, that you might know now, I don't feel it here tonight, but many times I have felt it where people think you were reading their mind reading. You look at somebody on a platform and talk to them, see? But anybody who knows one principle of mind reading knows that that's wrong. Anybody that knows psychology knows that's wrong. See? I remember the two spirits that stood close together to deceive the very elect, as Jambres and Jambres withstood Moses. That's superstition perception. But you find out, we got a lot of things going on in the world today, under the name. But you see, no one can ever take the picture of a spook. It isn't there. See, but the angel of the Lord, they've got the picture of it. You've got it here. Many, many times, time after time. And the things that God does is lasting. See, that you might know the Spirit of God. Now the Bible said, now let's see, as the days of Solomon, let's hold on that, usually touch his garment. Let's think this, Lord. Tonight for the sick people, let's take it was the days of Solomon, the angel of God that was in that flesh gave a sign to Abraham that the time was at hand that Sodom, the world, was going to be destroyed. How many remembers the story? Sure you do in Genesis. Now, Jesus over in the New Testament said, just before the end time, the coming of the Son of Man, that same thing would reappear as it was at Sodom. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, I want you sick people out there. Now, I do know there's somebody sitting here tonight that I know. That's Brother William sitting right here. And these three fellows sitting right here, I know them. These three men from Arkansas and right in here, these three men. Outside of that, Brother Gene Goad sitting here, which him and Brother Leo are my associates. But out in there, as far as I can see, it's hard. Any of these ministers say that we even recognize anybody out in there, see, from here. But let's pray. And let's just ask the Lord if He'll help us. And let His mercy be upon us. Now, the prayer cards, we don't have any of them because we've taken them up and we don't. And Friday night is going to be the prayer line again for everyone. We're going to give out a whole group of prayer cards. Anybody wants them, bring them right across the line like we did the other night. See, therefore we get everybody prayed for. But now you don't need that prayer card. You don't need it. The only thing you need to do is have faith that I've told you the truth. God, when He said, at Samaria, when this woman received this sign, what they go to do if they didn't believe it? What the Jews go to do when Nathanael said, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel? He said, because I told you where you were at, or told Peter who he was, and so forth, you believe? Then you'll see greater things than this. And you people who will believe His message and His Spirit today will see a greater thing, because you'll see a resurrection someday, and we'll see the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to turn my back to you while you pray. We'll talk to Brother DePlessis. I just want you're in this room. You have a nice evening, sir. Look at Brother Bacchanelli sitting back here. Oh, old friend. There. His youth ministers, I want you to say. All right now. You want somebody in this audience is coming in contact with the Holy Spirit behind you, back in here, that you might know. I want every sick person to be praying, every one of you sick praying. I feel in my own makeup that the Holy Spirit, somebody is touching him. There's plenty of them now. There's a woman sitting in this direction right here, over here. They've just contacted the Holy Spirit. She's suffering with a heart trouble. She's sitting right down there. She's having trouble with taking salt in her food and things. You believe with all your heart, lady. Stand up. That's true, isn't it? Now it's all over now. You can go home. Be well. Tell me what she touched. What did she touch? The Holy Spirit. You believe now? If thou canst believe. I'll turn my back again to the audience. You pray. See, but you don't have to look at me. Standing here now, I see a woman. She's praying. She is wearing glasses and she's praying for her eyes. Yes, because they're getting dim. Here she is sitting right here, right back in here, glasses on. She's been healed once before in my meeting. That's right. That is right. Now, that's true what she's praying about. All right? Now you go home, believe with all your heart, and be made well. Now, I look in this direction. There's a man sitting here praying, but it isn't that man. There's another man standing up here before me. He doesn't. If I can see, he's got a bronchial trouble in his throat. He's sitting way back there in the back, kind of a reddish looking shirt on, a friend. Yes, sir. Now, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now? You should. All right, you can go home and be well now, sir. Your faith makes you well. Have faith in God. That lady sitting right down here has had the same thing, bronchial trouble and so forth, too. Sitting there, Mrs. Metzen, you think that's your name? Why, stand up on your feet. I don't know you, do I? That's right. That's who you are? That's your trouble. Your faith has made you well. Go home. You believe with all your heart? What about somebody back in this way now? You pray. Father, this is you. It has to be you, because the angel of the Lord, he had his back turned to the tent. Let it be known that you're still the same God, that they can touch you, just, you know, all things. I'm looking at a man, and he looks to me like he's Spanish. And he's got something wrong with his side. He's got a poison in his body that he got from a work that he's doing. He's got a message on his heart or something on his heart he wants to preach. His sympathy is for the sick and afflicted, especially on hospitals. His name is Mr. Lee. If you believe with all your heart, Mr. Lee, there you are. Jesus Christ gives you what you ask for. I do not know you. Is that right, sir? I'm a stranger to you. That's right. Go receive what you ask for now. Jesus Christ makes you well. Around the building, Do you believe His presence is here? You believe the angel of the Lord? Now there's the word, there's the promise, there's the reaction of it, there's the promise fulfilled. Now how many wants to get saved and deal with the Holy Ghost? Come stand here this morning. If you're really interested and want the Holy Ghost and want to be saved, come up here now to stand around the altar. God bless you. Come on up. If you want to come, I don't care who you are. Just come up here. This is the time to get things right. Then we'll have prayer for the sick. The rest of them just the same. But I felt checked in the spirit. That's enough. As if it was at least three, wasn't it? Four is more than three, wasn't it? Three is a confirmation. That's the way I like to see people come with no altar call, you know, no singing, and just rise up and say, I'm aware that God is present. I come. I come because I'm aware of God's presence. I want to be right. I'm going to be asked for a reason someday, and I'm coming now to confess my faith in God and believe that I'm going to receive it right now. Don't doubt. Don't have a doubt now. If you doubt one bit that you're not going to receive what you come for, it won't be one bit good. You've got to come believing. But right now in the presence of God, in the presence of the Holy Ghost, that you're to confirm the Word, come, because that you know He's here, and you know that He'll give you the desire of your heart. That's what He's here for, is to give the desire of your heart. Will you come? That's good. That's fine. That's right. Go wait just a second longer to see what the Holy Spirit would do, whatever He would call. See, it seems to me, friends, if you were here with one speck of doubt, now remember, I'm going to look at you and you're going to look at me one day for the last time. And the next time you see me and I see you, we'll be in the presence of God. Then there'll never be another chance. You only get one, that's this. And if you've got one speck of doubt about your experience, or if you're not a Christian at all, or you're doubting your experience, why don't you come now? See, if the enemy, like I spoke on last night, to too many voices, if the enemy's trying to say you're too tired, oh, I won't get it, tell him he's a lie. Tell him that you're going to get it tonight, and I'm going to determine I'm going to get it tonight. That's the way to get it. Now, how many full gospel ministers are here, or Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever it may be, that believe that people can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today as well as they did back there, and the prescription is for them? Raise up your hands. Ministers. I know you're interested in souls. Come stand along here with them now, and you might help lay hands on them. Come right up. Stand right along here and lay hands on them. That's good. Now, what did I tell you? Is there no bomb in Gilead? Sure. Is there no physician there? Look at the physicians coming. These physicians of the Word, they certainly believe it. Look at them. Isn't that wonderful? Look at the ministers. You're in this little crowd of people, 300 or 400 people here tonight. Look at the ministers. 20, 30, 40 ministers standing here. Ministers who believe it. Now you doctors of the Scripture, do you write, you prescribe the prescription that was given on the day of Pentecost? Do you prescribe that?
Yes,
sir. It's a double cure.
Yes.
Double cure. Rock of ages, cliff bar, let double cure, safe from wrath, and make me pure.
Amen.
You're here to die. The only way you can be born again is to die first, so that you can be born again. We're going to offer prayer for you. Now, our Heavenly Father, I bring these people sweetly and humbly to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be sure that my prayer is offered for them, to be sure that I have did all that I know how to do, that they will receive you, being that you have been so good to take these old frail bodies of ours and to let the Holy Spirit speak through them. It's certainly taken a sanctifying grace of God to do it, because we are sinners and of no good at all. But the Holy Spirit has taken the blood of Jesus and cleansed our hearts and sanctified our lips, like He did the prophet at the altar. And now the Word of God, spoken Word of God, flows forth to vindicate His presence to this generation before it shall pass into eternity to give an account. Many have come tonight around this altar to receive the Holy Spirit. Father God, we pray that not one of them will leave here until they are filled with the Holy Ghost. May they be filled, every one of them, with the power and the resurrection of Christ. Grant it, Lord. And may the sick and afflicted in here be healed. Whatever is wrong with the sick and afflicted, may the power of God come and heal each one of them. I offer this prayer to you sincerely with all my heart in the name of Jesus. For His glory. I want the ministers to walk up close now, laying hands on them. Now, brother. Amen. Brother David, you, brother, come right down here along the altar. Now, there's no need of just praying with this. There's not a bit of need of that. You're here to get the Holy Ghost. Are you? Do you want it? Really want it? Well, now, it's for you. Or if you've never received Christian baptism, will you promise God to be baptized if you haven't done it? Will you promise God that you'll let Him just use you in any way, no matter what comes or goes? You'll take His word for it? Now, how many believers are in the building? If they're going to receive the Holy Ghost, raise up your hand. You believe that they're going to receive it, raise up your hand. Now, I'm going to ask the pastor here to lead this prayer, because he's probably been at Pentecost a lot longer than I have. And I want each one of you pastors here, you preachers, evangelists, whatever you are, you members, all of us to pray with one accord while brother leads us. And I want each one of you to pray, and I want you people to pray and believe you're going to receive it now. All right. Let us bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, when
oh, God.
Pentecost was fully come and the people were with one accord.
Yes, Lord.
Suddenly came and baptized those waiting believers.
Yes.
Father, may this be ours.
Filled with the Holy Ghost right now.
May this be the time that we are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Grant it, Lord.
Lord, we today need the power
come
of the as never before.
Yes.
Come out of the powers of the angels.
Grant it, Lord.
We wait before the old God. Search our hearts tonight,
pour your spirit,
Lord.
Come and
get
it before Him.
Of one mind, of one spirit.